position to you. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. Exodus chapter number 33. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I am glad that you're here. And my soul, listen, I've already gotten help from the Lord. Amen. That singing was a blessing to my heart and my soul. And walked in tonight and seen your pastor. And the first thing I thought to myself, since I said, man, he's not half the man he used to be. You'll get that at 3 o'clock in the morning, amen. Had a missionary at our church, a missionary friend of ours, hadn't seen him in a long time. He and his wife came through, and he was preaching for us a couple weeks ago. And he said, I was, you know, during the service while he's preaching, he said, the pastor, he's like Barnum and Bailey. He just keeps getting bigger and better. And I thought to myself, did he just say what I think he said? I mean, you know, but amen. It does beat the alternative, doesn't it? Amen. I'm still breathing. Thank God for it. Before we preach, I want to say just a couple of things. I appreciate this church. Best I can remember, last time we were here was right, we preached a vacation Bible school for you, I believe, right before we went to the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We had been voted in there and had the privilege of preaching a vacation Bible school. We've now been there 7 years, and so going on 8 years now. And what a blessing it is to walk in tonight and see, thank God, the consistency. And that thrills my soul. And amen. Let me just say I know there's other churches represented here tonight, but thank God for this church, and thank God for what coming in and seeing people. You know, used to be little tiny things, and now they've got, you know, facial hair and all that stuff. They're growing up. Had Brother Timothy came up, and he was with us some time ago and preached for us. And boy, how God's using him, and we thank God for that. And we pray, I say this to the Little Ivy Baptist Church, we pray for you every week. We pray for your pastor, we pray for the church and the work that you're doing here, and you have a wonderful testimony, and I thank God for that. You keep doing what you're doing. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I made this statement, I want to make it to you, I want to say this to you tonight. You know, we've been in this thing as long as many, but we've been in it a pretty long time, and I do it all over again. I do it all over again. I was 22 when I got saved, and I was 26 when God called me to preach. I began pastoring not long after that over here in Flag Pond, Tennessee. My wife and I stopped there on the way in, and we actually used that as the changing place. We stopped in there, and we got ready for church and came on over. But I think about the miles, and I think about the places, and I think about the people, and amen, I do it all over again. And I have no regrets. See, I used to be the young preacher. I remember Miss Vicky, Brother Joel surrendered to preach about a month after I did. And Brother B.B., we was the young preachers. And now in our church, Brother B.B. always said, you know, you never come to, he'd always say this. He said, you come to church looking like a preacher. And he'd say, you come to church ready to preach. And it might even be a Sunday morning. And the choir would get done singing. And we'd have a special. And the preacher would say, all right, said so-and-so's going to sing. When they get done singing, Brother Tommy, you got 15 minutes, and Brother Joel, you got 15 minutes. Brother Foss, we start going, you know. But I thank God for that. And we may have, are you live streaming tonight? Some of our folk may be watching from Kentucky. We had the privilege. You see, they've not seen it this fashion. It's different up there. And we had the privilege of bringing about 20 so down to Pleasant View. We preached youth meeting down there in July, and they came down. And so now the group up in Kentucky is saying, hey, can we go down to North Carolina and all these places, and we go to, it's just not that way, you know, in a lot of places. You ought to thank God for that. I ought to thank God for that. But I used to be that young preacher. Now I look in the mirror and I'm not young anymore. I'm still young by my standards, but I look, and now you got a young crop that's coming up now. And thank God we need some men that's going to stand. We need some men that'll stand true on the Word of God and preach. And amen, bring that next, listen, these groups out there are trying to pull us away, trying to pull our young ones away. Thank God, stick to the old paths, amen. It's the right way, and I thank God for it. But I just want to encourage you, amen, just keep doing what you're doing. God's a blessing, God's a helping. We're in Exodus chapter number 33 tonight, and you know you're getting old when you are on your way from Kentucky, and I look, we was in Virginia, we come up through Virginia and down. And I asked my wife, I said, did you bring my glasses? And she said, you're supposed to get your own glasses. And so I had to stop at a Dollar General and get glasses so I could read my Bible without these things. You know you're getting old when you got to start putting glasses on. Amen? But I, God certainly put something in my heart, and I don't know what the time limit is tonight. I didn't ask you before, but I want to be mindful of that. But the Lord's really spoke to my heart tonight, and I want to be a help to you. And I'm asking God to do that very thing. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 33, and look at verse number 7. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 7, I'm going to read several verses, but you hang with me. The Bible said, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. Don't forget that. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. So what Moses said, he said, if you're not going to go with us, we don't want to go. I want to know not only that you're doing this, but I want to know that you're with me when you do this. Verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Go to chapter, let's go look in chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. The Bible said, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third generation and to the fourth generation. I want you to notice two verses, and then we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. In chapter number 33, look at verse number 19. Now Moses had asked God to show him his glory. And God said, if you will, if I can say it in these terms, son, you can't handle my glory. Amen. Right now where you're at, you cannot handle my glory. But here's what God said he would do in verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Now look in chapter 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Now watch this. And abundant in goodness and truth. He said in chapter 33, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Chapter 34, he said he was abundant in goodness. I want us to think tonight on this thought, the God of all goodness. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you tonight, Lord God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that thy word is truth. God, I thank you tonight for, Lord, what our hearts have already heard. And now, Lord, as we come to your word, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would help us to rightly divide the word of truth. God, give us and feed us from your word. May we grow thereby. May we be encouraged. And Lord God, tonight, may you be magnified and glorified in all things as we preach your word. I need your help, Lord. And God, I want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Think about that, the goodness of God. We say this all the time, and I hear people say it. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And he is good. But I mean tonight, if we really get a look at the goodness of God and understanding he's abundant in goodness. Here Moses says to God, Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. And God said, you can't handle it. But, now let me say this, there's going to come a time, Moses, you will see my glory. Amen, in my time. But until then, I'm going to let you see my goodness. Amen. He's the God of all goodness. He said, when I put you in the cleft of that rock, he said, I'm going to let all of my goodness pass by thee. And as you think about the goodness of God, that's what I want to take a look at tonight in the goodness of God. Let's turn tonight, if you will, the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 1. And I preached out of this portion of Scripture, not this message or this thought, but I preached this in the chapel of our Christian school the other day. And God helped me so much with it. I preached it on Wednesday night when we got to church. But I want you to look first, when you start talking about the goodness of God, we must see the revealing of his goodness. Where does the Bible reveal the goodness of God? It reveals it at the very beginning when he begins to tell us what the word of God would tell, when he tells us what the Bible says. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now, don't you think about this. In the revealing of his goodness, in the very beginning when there was nothing nor anybody but God, amen, his goodness was present. I was thinking about how that God, now listen, I don't know about you, but my mind thinks about a lot of things, and there's a lot of things I think about what the Bible says that I probably wouldn't say out loud, but just things I think within myself and wonder. I realize the Bible tells us that, amen, that the books of all the world could not contain everything that God would have for us, but my mind wanders on, and I get this picture as I read the word of God. I'm a thinker, and I think about all that's going on. Here's God. Now, I don't believe that it was just total darkness. I don't believe that God just sat for all of eternity up to this point in total darkness. It was God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And there came a time that God said, okay, it's time. And to God, the Bible said that he began to create. My wife was coming across Sam's Gap, and she was talking about the mountains. And listen, you miss the mountains whenever you ain't here, and you come back and you see the beauty and the grandeur. And we was talking about how that God had placed every single mountain here where we're at, exactly where he wanted it to be. And God spoke that. God had a desire for creation. And I see the goodness of God is revealed in Genesis 1:1. He had a desire. Amen. He wanted to create, and he wanted to create what he wanted to create. Not only tonight do I see that he had a desire to create what he wanted, but amen, he has a design in everything that he creates. I'm telling you now that when you spend time like we do in the Christian school, and you're going through biology with those freshmen and on, you start seeing how God's handiwork, even in the plant world and the animal world, everything works right together. It's the goodness of God in everything that he created. He had a desire to create. He had a design, and he would design everything to his exact purpose on what he wanted. And let me say this, the Bible says, and I won't cover all the scriptures, but the Bible gives us detail about everything that he created when he said it was good. I preached in our chapel on Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. I said he's a God that's supreme. There's none, amen, greater than him. As a matter of fact, he said, I am the only God. He said, there's no other God besides me. He said, I know not any. I am God supreme. I said he's a God that speaks. And the Bible said, and he spoke. And I told them young people, I said, think about this. Here's God. And he speaks all these things into existence. And he's talking to something that doesn't even have ears. Amen. The voice of God is going out in creation, the goodness of God. And God said, and let there be, and let there be, and let there be. And every time he would speak, there it would be, and there it would be, and there it would be. And then the Bible said he's a God that saw. Amen. He saw what he had made. Then he's a God that smiles and saw that it was good. Every time I look or eat something, think about something good, I smile. Amen. God is a God that smiles. Amen. Thank God. Then he's a God that separates. He separated the light from the dark. And all of this in his goodness. Amen. The revealing of his goodness. Amen. He said he saw it and it was good. We could go through Genesis 1 and see many times and he saw that it was good. And when you look at that word good, Strong's tells us that word means it's gladness, it's kindness, it's something that's precious. Amen. God created everything in his goodness. As a matter of fact, when you think God and goodness, it's the very essence of who he is. God is good. He's the God of all goodness. As God would reveal his goodness, amen, as he spoke with a voice of goodness. As he saw with eyes of goodness. As he was satisfied, amen, in everything with all of his goodness, he's a God of all goodness. Now, go to Genesis chapter 3. Just want to give you a couple things by way of introduction. But in Genesis chapter number 3, first we've seen the revealing of his goodness. You get to Genesis chapter number 3, there's going to be the replica of his goodness. Now, you say, what do you mean the replica? Well, a replica is something that's not real. And no matter what God does, Satan is always trying to replicate what God does, but it's never in the same essence of who and what God is. Amen. And he's trying to replicate the goodness of God by getting man to take their eyes off of his goodness and put their eyes on him. And Genesis chapter number 3 gives that a cap. And Satan's still doing the same thing today. Man, I see it all over. I listen, I watch, and I see all, even in the church world, I see folk that are gravitating toward replicas, and they're not getting the real thing tonight. Amen, they're gravitating toward something that feels good, and it sounds good, but deep inside, it's not like the real thing. Amen? But here's the replica. I'm going to say this very quickly because I want to move on, but in Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 6. The Bible saw him, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now verse number 7, the Bible said, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Here in this replica, what we see, what Satan was trying to do was trying to get God's creation to follow him and trying to replicate the goodness of God, which he can't. And listen, he did the same thing. He did the same thing God did, and to this effect, he tried to speak. He spoke to God's creation. He couldn't speak creation, but he spoke to God's creation. He saw, just like God saw. He saw, he spoke. Amen. He tried to get her to follow him. He caused her to sow, S-E-W. Amen. The Bible said that once they sinned, they recognized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. And I'm telling you, the world's still been trying to do that in the realm of religion ever since this point. I'm glad tonight I'm not religious. Amen. I'm glad tonight I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher say not long ago, said there'll be more religion in hell than there'll be anything. And we live in a world full of religion. But thank God for those that have established a relationship with the great God of goodness tonight. Amen. The replica is still working tonight, still trying to cause people, amen, to go away from the Word of God and the things of God. And he did that to those in the garden, Adam and Eve. And now let me. I was thinking about this. God. Sometimes you hear a message, and you listen to the message, but God will take a phrase that the preacher says, or maybe you're looking and you'll see a verse and you just kind of highlight it. And a man was preaching not long ago, and he made a statement. He was preaching on something totally different. And it took me, my mind went back to Genesis, and I'm going to preach a message before too long on this thought. The Lord's looking for you. The Lord's looking for you. Amen. He came looking for Adam. I wonder who he's looking for tonight. Hey man, I'm going to pray. I've done God. He's looking for the lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. He's looking tonight for those that are leaning. Amen. Those that are saved, but they're leaning toward the far country. He's looking tonight for the laborer. Jesus said, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into the field, for the fields are white and ready unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Hey man, I wonder who he's looking for tonight here. Oh, we see the revealing of his goodness. We see the replica of his goodness. Look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible said, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And he said, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, I want you to look, if you will, at verse number 21. The Bible says, unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, let me say this to you. We all know this for the most part, but maybe somebody's under the sound of our voice and you've never heard it. All of the sin that we are in right now is because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Because of their disobedience to God and to do what God had said, amen, because of that, sin had entered into the world, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had died for us. There's a beautiful picture here in Genesis chapter number 3, amen, and you see Jesus all in Genesis chapter number 3, amen, how that Adam, he purposely knowing what was going to happen, took of that fruit and would die because of that. And Jesus Christ, our second Adam, amen, he purposely tasted of death for every man, amen, so that all could be saved by the grace of God. But there's a great picture here. Adam and Eve had sinned, and they had hid from God, and thinking that God would pass them by, and maybe God would even forgive. But here would come God in the cool of the day walking through the garden, and he would say, Adam, where art thou? Now tonight, my friend, he wasn't asking Adam and Eve where they was because he didn't know. He wanted Adam and Eve to know where they was at in coordination with God himself. And he's dealing with a sinner here now, and he's coming to them, and he wants them to know where they're at, in the condition they're at, and what they need. So let me say this tonight. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 2, verse 4, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God showed up on the scene because Adam and Eve needed a Savior. Sin had entered in. Because of their sin, they had hid. Man is still hiding in this hour in which we live. Man, they're hiding in many different places and many different things and many different costumes. Hey, I don't know how it is around here. I don't celebrate Halloween, and I don't push it. But up where I live, amen, I still think a lot of people think it's Halloween. Take it however you want to take it. Man, I go to Walmart. I mean, man, they've got hair that's 15 different colors. And I'm not being ugly tonight. God knows my heart. But, I mean, man, they've got piercings. I mean, they're all over the place. And, man, I mean, tattoos from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And now, listen, I thank God. God's still saving sinners. Amen. I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a little bit. So I'm not throwing them out to the pastor and saying they're done for. I'm not saying that. But they're hiding under their own identity. Amen. And we're living in a time where everybody wants to identify as something, but they won't identify as a sinner. Amen. I'll identify as this. And I'll identify as this. But God came, amen, in his goodness. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Amen. So you won't hide anymore, and you come to light on who and what you really are. And the fact of the matter is, you're a sinner. Folk don't want to admit that. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee. That word goodness, now Strong says in Romans, in that verse of scripture, in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Strong said that word goodness means kindness. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Amen. I know there's a lot of places don't talk about repentance anymore. And I'm going to tell you right now, friend, without repentance, there is no salvation. Amen. Without repentance, I don't take repentance as far as some take it. But you know what the Bible tells us repentance is? Amen. It's turning from idols unto a holy God. Turning from idols unto God. Turning from my sin unto God. Amen. Y'all listen. I heard a fellow from Rock of Ages. He was preaching. And he was talking about going into the prison. And he came and talking to a man and witnessed to him and witnessed to him and witnessed to him. And he came to a service one day and the man came up and said, I think I'm ready to be saved. He said, you think you are? He said, I'm ready to be saved. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, do you want Jesus more than you want your sin? And he said, now wait a minute. You mean if I get saved? He said, if you don't want Jesus more than you want your sin, you're not ready to be saved. You're going to turn from that and turn unto a living God. And God now is teaching us in the Old Testament about repentance and teaching us the goodness of God, the kindness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I'll share my testimony just for a few moments and we'll move on. But I was in my 20s when I was raised. My family's from here in Black Mountain, North Carolina. My daddy moved me and my family, part of my family. He and my mother divorced when I was a very young boy. He would move us up to Kentucky. I would spend a number of years up there. And when I turned 18, I left home at the age of 17, full of rebellion. I mean, trying to find something in life. Didn't know what I was looking for, but I was trying everything in the world to try to fulfill this hole I had, this void I had in my life, and nothing that I would put in my body or no activity that I would do or no place that I would go would satisfy this longing that I had, and I didn't understand why in the world I had this feeling. So I left Kentucky and came to North Carolina when I was 18 years old. I moved to Black Mountain and began working there at the Ingalls Warehouse. And long story short, I was going through a time in our life, and I really came to a place. And I remember vividly, I was at the Memorial Mission Hospital. Our oldest son, who's here with us tonight, he was born early, about 7.5 weeks early. Is that right, Miss Julie? Somewhere in that range. 5 weeks early. But anyway, they told us when he was born, and they put him in the ICU and told us, said, listen, he's probably not going to make it. And went through all this, and I remember going into there and looking at him, and he's a big, pretty good-sized baby to be as early as he was. And I remember being in that intensive care, and I remember for the first time in my life, I said, God, if you're real, I want to know it. If you're real. And some time went on. Somebody invited us to church. Here's what they told me. They said, if you'll just go to church, everything will make it better. Did you know that's not the truth? Just going to church doesn't make everything better. I liken it done to having a transmission problem in our truck and taking it to the garage and just pulling it into the garage and shutting the door. That thing just sitting there, amen, by itself is not going to get any better. Something's going to have to put its hands on it, amen, to get that thing fixed. But anyway, I didn't know all of that, so I went to church, and I sat on this right-hand side over here. And now in my life, let me just tell you this, I never seen myself as a sinner. I never did. If you'd asked me, I got saved on September 4th. If you'd asked me on September 2nd, if you'd come to me and said to me, if you die today, will you go to heaven? I would have said, yes, I will. I would have said yes. I'm not having it. And you would say, well, now tell me why. And I'm going to say this is what I would have said. Because I'm not as bad as other people. A true statement. But I sat in that service that morning, and there was a preacher that was preaching, and he got to preaching on hell. And I mean, I believed in hell. If you'd asked me on September the 2nd, do you believe in hell? I would have said, sure I do. Hey, you'd have said, do you believe in heaven? I would have said, sure I do. But I sat there in that service, and I'm telling you what, as he preached on hell, he started hammering how the fact that all were sinners, amen, he started hammering the fact, amen, that none is good, no, not one. He's hammering the fact the word of God is his speech. And for the first time, my friend, the goodness of God showed up in my life. There's probably several hundred people in that service. He's preaching on hell, and I realized for the first time that that's exactly, Brother Faulks, where I was going. And then the preacher would direct us toward Calvary. Amen. He would talk about how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he got to talking about how that the darling Son of God shed his precious blood that all sinners could be saved, and how that he loved me, even me. And I'm telling you, preacher, goodness came. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Goodness came to me.
I didn't go to church looking for him. I went to church looking for a better way, not knowing that he was the way. And I'm telling you, sinner friend, if you're here tonight, thank God it's the goodness of God. That, like, matter of fact, I didn't see any. It's okay if I come down. Amen. I didn't see any need that I needed to be saved. But that morning, as he preached on September the 3rd of 1995, I saw myself the way that God saw me. I saw myself as a sinner. I'm telling you, it was the goodness of God that would even reveal that to me. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I'm not a Calvinist to any degree, but you'll not get saved outside of the Spirit of God drawing you. Amen. God does his part. He draws that sinner, and it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. And I didn't get saved that morning. I raised my hand, I was lost. I acknowledged for the first, I wasn't raising my hand to the preacher. I was raising my hand to heaven and letting God know that I knew that I needed to be saved. I was walking out. I didn't get saved that morning. It was on September the 3rd, 1995. I walked out the door. The preacher's there. And I said, sir, is there any way you can come to my house tomorrow night? I want to talk to you some more about this. And he said, all right, what time? I said, 6. He said, 6 o'clock. I said, that's wonderful. I went to work at Ingalls Warehouse that next day. And all I could think about is what the preacher said. All I could think about is what the preacher said, what the preacher said, what the preacher said. Amen. Thinking about me being, and in my soul, God knows I speak the truth tonight. In my soul, I said, I'm getting saved at 6 o'clock. All day long, I'm getting saved. I thought the preacher had to be there. I didn't know any difference. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't have any. I went every now and then as a little boy. I thought the preacher had to. All day long, I was working a forklift thinking, I'm going to get saved at 6 o'clock. I'm going to get saved at 6 o'clock. I'm going to get saved. And it was the goodness of God. Then I was on that forklift, and it was the goodness of God that was leading me. The goodness of God was leading. There's a little bar across the road called the Eagle's Nest. Before I got saved, we go right across the railroad tracks out of Ingalls. We go straight over to that bar several times a week, and we play nine ball and all that goes on in that atmosphere. But I'm telling you, on September the 4th, amen, I got off of work about 3:30, and I went across them tracks and hung a left. I didn't stop at the Eagle's Nest. I went down and hung a right on Cragmont Road. Amen. I went to that little old single wide trailer that me and my wife was living in, and I sat there watching that clock, and I'm going to get saved at 6 o'clock. The whole time it was the goodness of God that was leading me to repentance. It was the goodness of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God. Brother Scotty, I didn't deserve to be saved. I deserved hell, and I deserved it a million times over. But thanks be unto God, the goodness of God. He said, he told Moses, I'm going to let all of my goodness pass before thee. Amen. The goodness of God just kept drawing me and drawing me and drawing me. His kindness was bringing me where I needed to be. That preacher showed up at 6 o'clock. He knocked on my door. I opened that door up. He come inside, and I promise you, he said something like this. He said, man, it's good weather out there today, ain't it? And I said, sir, I don't care about the, that's my honest, I don't care about the weather. I said, sir, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. He said, why don't you just ask him? I said, ask him. He said, just ask him. I said, what else I got to do? He said, do you know you're a sinner? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you know that because of your sin you're going to hell? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you believe that Jesus died for your sin? I said, yes, sir. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I sat down in that little old leather chair in our living room, and best I know how, best I can remember, I said something to this effect. Amen. Dear God, would you please save me? It was the goodness of God, amen, that was bringing me to that place of repentance. I said, dear God, I want you more than I want my sin. I'm talking about the kindness of God that showed up at Cragmont Road at that little old trailer park. Amen. That fifth trailer on the left in that little, Brother Eddie Davis came to preach for us, and I was at Rosman Tabernacle. And when Brother Davis come, we like to ride around, just drive around and talk. And man, I gleaned from that. I just took him and I took him. We took him by Swanoa Heights and came out, and I went up that trailer park. And I pulled in that driveway, and I just overcome just thinking about what God had done for me. All I could do was weep. And he said, Brother Tommy, he said, is that where God saved you, son? I said, yes, sir.
Right there's where God saved me. I'm talking about the goodness of God. Man, we talk about Calvary. I was talking to somebody just the other day, not from our church, somebody in our community witnessing to him. And he said this. He said, we need more preaching on the love. He said, you know, he said, that cross teaches us love. And I said, sir, I agree with you. But there's a whole lot more than love going on Calvary. Amen. Whenever Jesus hung between heaven and hell. Amen. I said, sir, not only was there love at Calvary, but there was wrath at Calvary. Amen. The wrath of God that was due to me and was due to you and was due to you was put on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, the wrath of God was, God, man, so much going on the cross. Yes, it was love, but I'm telling you, friend, he paid the price. And then he would deal with sinners. You see, even as a sinner, I don't even deserve him to deal with me. But his goodness, his kindness. Oh, sinner friend tonight, if you're under the sound of my voice and you're lost, and God speaks, that's the kindness of God that is there in your presence. See, he don't want you to go to hell. He don't want you to go. Had a lady last Sunday night, 4 to 6 years old. She had been in the service on Wednesday, raised her hand. She's a visitor of the church, had raised her hand. She's lost. Come back on that. She's there on that Sunday night. And amen, preached out of Genesis 1 on Sunday night. And she, that night, she raised her hand once again. She is lost. Before the end of that service, she had stepped out. Amen. Got saved by the grace of God. And she said, I never knew it could be like this. Had a man in our church, and he's in heaven now, but he was 71 years old, and he would come to service after a Vietnam veteran, had full-time air with him. He'd sit back on the far right-hand side. He'd raise that hand and raise that hand and raise that hand. Amen. One Sunday night, he was walking out the door. His name was Gary, and he walking out the door, and I said, Gary, I said, you raised your hand again tonight? He said, yes, sir. I said, is God dealing with you tonight? He said, yes, sir. I said, can I talk to you for a few minutes? And we went inside the sanctuary and sat down, and I began to talk to Gary, and he said, preacher, he said, yesterday, he said, all day long, I just stayed in my garage, just sweeping my floor for hours upon hours, just sweeping my floor. And I said, what was wrong? He said, I just kept thinking, I don't want to go to hell. So I swept that floor. I don't want to go to hell. And I said, Gary, I said, now you heard the preaching tonight. You know what the Bible says. You've heard it since you've been there. I'm talking about this has been several months. And I said, I'll ask you a question. If God's dealing with you tonight, it is the goodness of God. And he wants you to respond to him. I said, would you do that? He said, yes, sir. He bowed his head there and asked the Lord to save him. And I'm telling you, change. I mean, 71. That, let me tell you something. That is unheard of. The older you get, the harder that heart gets. 71 years old. He'd stand up and testify, just thanking God that God saved him. It was the goodness of God. See, none of us tonight deserve to be saved. If you're saved, you ought to thank him tonight for his good. He's the God of all goodness. So not only tonight, we see the revealing of his goodness. We see that in his creation. The replica of his goodness. Satan's still trying to replicate it, and he can't. The repentance. Amen. I didn't cover it. I'm going to move on. But in that, there was a relationship initiated. God initiated that relationship with Adam. Amen. There was a realization. The realization of Adam and Eve was their clothes, their righteousness could not make it in the presence of God. So there was a realization there. There was a repentance. Amen. They had to take off what they had put on. Amen. So he could put on what he took off. Amen. Of that animal. You got to trade it. Now, think about this. I want you to think tonight of the reality of his goodness. Or the realm of his goodness. Now, the Bible says, know you not, it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. But his goodness doesn't stop there. That the goodness found there in the book of Romans means kindness. And we're not going to turn there, but in Psalms chapter 23, verse 6, the Bible says, the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalmist said,
Surely, think about that. In that we're not looking at the scripture, but surely he's talking about the miracle of the very essence of the thought. Surely, that word surely means certainly, infallibly, undoubtedly. You can count on it. Surely, you can count on it. Not only the miracle, surely, but then he said this, the ministry, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. There's a ministry that goodness has. There's a ministry that goodness. Tommy, you help me for a minute, please. Will you do that? Is it okay if I bring my son up here? Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. I come all the way from Kentucky. I come all the way from Kentucky to see my grandbabies. Amen. My Tommy and Shania, they think we came to see them. Preacher called and he said, listen, he said, you mind coming on August the 25th and preaching youth meeting? I said, praise God, that'd be a blessing. I mean it, it'd be a blessing. Well, then I called my son. And I said, listen, we're going to be at Little Ivy on the 25th. He said, well, Daddy, the 26th tomorrow is Lily's birthday. She turns 4. We're going to have her birthday. I said, it's God. It's God. Amen. Preacher said, you need a room? I said, I got a room. Right across the hall from my grandbabies. Right across the hall from my grandbabies. Amen. But I want you to sit right there. If you'll sit on there just for a moment. Just I want you to help me. Amen. You'll be with us. The ministry. The first thing goodness does is it leads you. It's the kindness of God. Then goodness follows you. Amen. You say, now, wait a minute, but it's still going to lead me. But it'll never lead you like it did the day you got saved. He doesn't need to lead you that way anymore. Ever since he saved me, I ain't one time ever felt like I need to get saved again. Why? Because the goodness of God, amen, that leads me to repentance wasn't dealing with me. So now the goodness of God follows me. It becomes a ministry. And you start thinking about that. I was 22 and I got saved, didn't understand. I didn't understand everything that took place. But amen, thank God as I get older and I see as I, you know, Brother Chris had testified and what a blessing that was to my heart to hear him. And, you know, and I was listening to him and there's certain things that I used to preach because I heard it preached. But then there's things I preach because I've lived it. It's no longer I've heard it. I've now lived it, and it's real to me. It's real to me. And so as I'm growing as a Christian in this ministry, the miracle of it, surely, undoubtedly you can count on it. Amen. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. That is a ministry, and the measure of time is all the days of my life. So that means all the days of my, I don't know how many days I have. But the Bible said that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, this word goodness, Strong says something else a little different about this word. This word goodness found in Psalm 23:6 means beautiful, best, better, bountiful, cheerful, at ease, fine, glad, good, gracious, joyful, kindness, kindly, loving, merry, most pleasant, pleasurable, precious, prosperity, ready, sweet, wealth, welfare, well-being, well-favored. Now, wait a minute. That's a pretty good list, isn't it? Surely goodness. So, you just follow me, okay? Hold on. You follow my lead. So, when I was 22 and I got saved, it's like I was sitting in that chair. And the goodness of God had just led me to repentance. And God saved me, Brother Falls. And then I got up out of my chair. And then, you know, I didn't cry when I got saved. I didn't cry until I went to my mama's house, which was right across the road. And I walked into my mama's house. And I looked at my mama. And I said, Mama, God just saved me. God just saved me. And then I would go to my sister's house, and I would go and I'd knock on her door. Her name's Margaret. I said, Margaret, God just saved me. And then I went to work the next day at Ingalls, and I mean, I'd come up to, I'd walk up to this one, and say, God saved me yesterday. And then I'd say, God, and I go the next one, God saved me. And I go the next one, God saved me. And I go the next one, God saved me. And God saved me. And finally, I made my rounds, and somebody said, we know God saved you. But what I didn't recognize was at that very moment that I got out of that chair And I started walking, and amen, I started going in my new Christian life. I had somebody following me that I didn't even know was there. That nobody ever told me. Amen, I just thought of getting saved, and I was going to heaven. Amen, I thought it meant I was going to miss hell, going to heaven, but I found out that salvation is a relationship. And from that point forward, every time I was, no matter where I went, Miss Vicki, I didn't know it, I didn't realize it, but I'm telling you, there would come times in my life, amen, that I would come to a place in my Christian walk, and I would say, "Dear God, I need help." And I'd get that peace. I'd go a little farther in my Christian life, and I said, Dear God, I need joy. Oh, and that sweet voice that was following me say, "I'm here." I'd go through and I'd say, "Dear God, I need guidance in my life. Oh, dear God, I need forgiveness. Oh, dear God, I need help from the Lord. Oh, dear God, you know I'm struggling with this in my life. Dear God, I can't do this on my own. Dear God, you know it. Y'all get it? I was getting an MRI one time. And fat people in the MRI machine's rough. That's why your preacher lost all of his weight, in case he ever had to have an MRI. I'm just kidding, brother. I'm not being disrespectful. But you get in that MRI machine, and they ask you. They'll say, "Do you want some blindfold?" I say, "That's all right. I never had an MRI before, so I don't need that." So they put me on that table, and I mean that hole was about that big around, and that thing started going, and when it did, I started doing this, and then it's like that thing's like right in my face, you know. And I said, I was about halfway, and I said, "Ma'am, I need a blindfold, please." But it just kept going in. Now, I know it sounds funny, but I'm telling you, I was in that thing, and I just felt, I was so tight, and I'd never been in a place like that before. And man, I can't explain it to you, but I was worried, and not at what, I was just, I couldn't breathe. And I sit here, and I was there, and I had my eyes closed. And I thought it was just me in there. And I said, "Dear God, I need you. I need you." And that's about how it was. In that MRI machine that was barely big enough just for me, that sweet voice said, "I'm here." You see, the goodness of God, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Miss Vicki, we buried our Benjamin. We had that funeral. It was a cold January day. A preacher's preaching the funeral at the cemetery. Me and my wife, that was in 2000. That was in January. And I'm sitting there in that little old coffin. Me and my wife's there, and we're trying to console one another. I said, "God, this hurts." And he said, "I'm here." It was on a Wednesday. We went to church that Wednesday night, and folks said, "Well, we didn't think you'd come to church. Well, where else would it go?" Thank God. I mean, this is where I find comfort. And that song we sing, "I have somebody with me." Hey, man, can I say something to you? When the Lord tells us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what we go through in life, he'll always say, "I'm here. Thank you, son." You see, that's the reality. You're never alone. Whether you're young, whether you're older, you're never alone. You see, that's his ministry. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm telling you, struggles come. Not just to young people, struggles come to older folk. Ministry sometimes, there's some hard places in ministry. There's some places that's just me and God that I have to get along with them. And I say, "Dear God,
And goodness says, I'm here. I'm here. I remember I was pastoring my first church, Flag Pond. Boy, things just weren't going well. I mean, there was just a lot of nonsense, just nonsense. And I fought that thing and fought that thing. And I called the preacher up and I said, Preacher, I'd tell him about everything, you know. And I said, Preacher, I say, man, I've done everything I can do. You know, here's what he said. He said, bro. I said, here's boy. He said, you're going there tomorrow. You tell that, it's on Saturday. He said, you're going there tomorrow. You tell that crowd you're done. He said, you come on back. He said, you come on back to Swan, Ohio. He said, you come in with your head up. Amen. He said, you come in praising God. God's not done with you, son. You tell him. What am I going to do? Told my wife, I said, we get there tomorrow, I'm going to get in that pulpit, and I'm going to look at every one of them. And I'm going to say, I'm done. I'm finished. It's a bunch of nonsense. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Holy Ghost woke me up. I wasn't half asleep anyway. He said, there's some people need you to stay there, son. He said, I'm here. There's some people need you to stay there. About 6 o'clock, my phone rang as a preacher. He said, bro. He said, I've been praying. He said, they may just be some people there that need you to stay. And I told him, I said, Preach, I love you. I thank God. But the Holy Ghost done told me that. So I'm just going to go back in the morning. I'm going to preach that book. And I'm done. But I want you to know tonight, thank God, His goodness is with you. And I can't promise you tonight there's not going to be some hard places. I can't promise you tonight there's not going to be some tough decisions. I can't tell you tonight, thank God, he may ask you to do something you never thought about doing. But I promise you one thing, there'll never be a time that you are walking and following what he's told you to do that he will not say, I'm here. I'm here. The Bible says in Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalm 33:5, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 107:8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 107:15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. He would go on to say in verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He would say again in verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Zechariah 9:17, for how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Tonight, my friend, you cannot beat the goodness of God. The goodness of God. And amen. I don't know, Pastor, how you want to do this, but amen. That maybe somebody would come to the piano tonight. I don't know. I do know this. This is exactly where God told us to be tonight in the Scripture. I know that God does all things well. You may be here tonight. You may be unsaved. And tonight, God in heaven. You said, how am I going to know if it? You'll know. That morning that God spoke to me, the first time in my life he had ever spoke to me because I was lost. But I promise you, I knew who it was when he spoke to me that morning about my sin. I knew. And I'm telling you, I still know the voice of God. You may be here tonight. He's dealing with you. And it's the goodness of God that's leading you to repentance. You may be a child of God tonight. You may think you're going through this thing by yourself. Amen. Tonight, you ought to just say, thank God for your goodness. Lord, you're with me everywhere I go, through everything I battle, through all the high times, the low times. Thank God, your ministry, you said the goodness of God, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know how God's dealing with your heart, but let's do this now. Why don't we stand together? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Music is going to start playing. Father, I pray in this time of invitation, God, that you'd move in our hearts. I pray, dear Lord, tonight as you speak to hearts, that even now as we pray that they would come. God, I don't know all that's before us. I don't know the needs in this place, but thank God I know there's a God that does. And I am so thankful, Lord God, tonight for the goodness of God. I thank you, Lord, for the goodness that brought me to you so I could be saved. I thank God for the goodness that follows me now, Lord God, as I live for you. And Father, tonight I'm thankful that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord God, when I say the Lord is good, I mean the Lord is good. Father, have your will and way in this invitation, I pray. Many folk tonight are gathered around the altar. Friend, you may be in this service and unsaved. You've battled that and battled that and battled that. And tonight, God's let you know through his goodness that you need to be saved by the grace of God. And maybe you'd be honest tonight and say, Pastor, Preacher, tonight God's speaking to me. I'm not saved. I'm in this service tonight, and I'm the only one looking as far as I know. And maybe you just raise a hand and say, Brother Mar, will you pray for me? I'm not saved. God's speaking to me tonight. I'm not saved. Would you please pray for me? Anybody tonight? You may be a child of God tonight, and maybe you've got to that place you know you're saved, but maybe